If you would turn with me in your Bible this morning to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I've never preached from this psalm, and I'll tell you why later on in the message. But here in Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1, I'll give you a moment to get there. Psalm 1, verse 1 begins this way. Blessed is the man. Now that word blessed here means happy. Happy is the man. The Hebrew word for blessed in the verse is found in the plural, so really it means twice happy. Twice happy. It also means to be favored of God. Oh, if you're favored of God, you ought to be happy and then happy again, shouldn't you? Twice happy is the man that's favored of God. And you know, we live in a day and we live in a time where men and women alike seem to find little to be happy about. What is it that makes most people happy? What do most consider being blessed to be? To have a good job? To be financially secure? To be materially prosperous? Most people say they're happy about those things. Others might say that to be happy, blessed, content is to have good health. No doubt that's a good thing. Others might say that to be happy and content is to be free from worry and care. Others might think to be famous or well known or to have power and influence would make them happy, content, and blessed. But there's one thing that all these things that I just mentioned have in common, and that is that they're all temporary.
Yes, sir.
Just fleeting and passing. These things are here today and gone tomorrow. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 7. He said, "For the fashion of this world passeth away." And it does. It does. Job said, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm leaving." And that's a fact. These things only provide a temporary joy, a temporary happiness. And that's why the Lord told us not to lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth, the things of this world. Paul tells us to set our affection and our passion on things above, not on the things on the earth. These so-called treasures of the world, well, they get eaten, they rust, they corrupt, they get stolen. I remember the first time my oldest son bought a new car. He didn't tell me. He was a grown man. Almost a grown man. Still had some learning to do. And he went out and he bought a new car. And he said, "Dad, it's only $340 a month." And I said, "Yeah, but that's every month for 60 months. He goes, "Ooh, I didn't think about that." I said, "Exactly. You know, at the end of that 5 years, 60 months, that car's going to be a little dinged up. It's going to have some rust spots on it." And that's the way it is with everything in this life. Even our health. So-called treasures. Real happiness and true blessings can't be found in things that can be taken away. Now, I enjoy my home and all its comforts. And I hope you do too. And I'm going to tell you, I am fond of my king-size bed. And I thoroughly enjoy having heating and air conditioning. Don't you? Well, sure you do. Both in my home and in my car. I enjoy those things. I remember my grandmother had an outhouse. I enjoy having indoor plumbing. And I'm thankful for these things that the Lord has provided us. And He is the one that has provided them. But they don't give me a true and a lasting happiness. So then, real happiness and real contentment and real blessings must be in something else. Because the psalmist here says, blessed, happy is the man. So this morning, if God willing and He'll enable me, I want us to consider four things about being happy and blessed from Psalm chapter 1. So let me ask you in the beginning, though, are you happy? Do you consider yourself blessed? The average person's definition of being happy is pretty much directly opposite of everything that the Scriptures declare. The first thing of these four is, who is this happiness for? Who's truly blessed? I want to be one of them. I really do. Secondly, who and what makes these happy and blessed? Thirdly, who is not blessed and happy? That's what this psalm shows us. Now, I don't want to be unhappy and cursed. I want to be happy and blessed. Anybody in their right mind would. They want to be happy and blessed. And fourthly, what does this happiness bring? And I'm convinced that if you answer these four questions according to the Scripture, that you have the gospel. You have the good news that God has given sinners. That's what I want to comfort you this morning with, the good news of the gospel. So let me say it again with a little more fervor and zeal. I want to be blessed. I want to be happy. I want to be content. Don't you? All of us do. No one wants to be unhappy. No one wants to be discontent. Not only one day in heaven after I die, but here on earth, in this life, right now, I want to be happy. So, first question, who is this blessedness for? Who is to have this lasting happiness? Well, he says, blessed is the man. Not an angel, but a man. Not a man that is king. Not a man that is rich. Not a man that is famous. Not a man that is healthy. Though they may be blessed. But that's not what he says. Just an ordinary man is for men and women just like you and me. And that should be encouraging right from the get-go, shouldn't it? Men and women who are poor in spirit. That's what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 6. Blessed, happy are they which are poor in spirit. Men and women who are spiritually poor. Now, what does that mean? Not those who have no clothes to wear. That's not what it's talking about. But those who have no righteousness to cover them. Poor in spirit. Those who see their covering to be nothing but rags. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. God won't accept it. It has to be perfect to be accepted. God won't accept anything less. And this is not talking about those who have no currency or money or big bank account, but those who are in debt to sin and have nothing to pay. That's what it is to be poor in spirit. Not those who think themselves to be rich and increased with goods, but those who see their spiritual poverty and they mourn over it and they're brokenhearted because of it. This blessedness, this happiness is for those who are subject to the infirmities of the flesh. And we all are. This happiness is for sinners, for mercy beggars. Are you a mercy beggar? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy, happy are they. The Lord asked His disciples one day, He said, who do men say that I am? And they gave Him several different answers. They said, some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're Jeremiah, one of the great prophets. Some even say you're John the Baptist. And our Lord asked His disciples this question. And this is the question that I'm asking you this morning. The Lord asked, who do you say that I am? Any hope that you have of eternity, being with the Lord Jesus for eternity on is who you say he is. What think ye of Christ? Who do you say Christ is? Well, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, blessed, happy art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonas. That's what Bar-Jonah there means. He said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, and it can't. He said, but my Father which is in heaven, he's revealed this to you. Do you answer the same way? Well, my point is, who was Simon Peter? He was the son of Jonas, just a man. Just a man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. Now, I've told you ladies several times, and I know you know this, but whenever we talk about man or men in the scripture, we're talking about you too. Mankind, men and women alike. Blessed. Twice happy. Well favored. Fortunate and content. Blessed is the man and woman. Blessed is the sinner. Blessed is the mercy beggar. Secondly, who are these blessed and happy sinners? Well, according to verse 1, they are those who walk not, those who don't walk, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Who are they? Well, you can go through the Psalms here and you can find out who they are. Psalm 2:12 says, blessed are they that put their trust in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, him being Christ. Who are these happy folks? Blessed, content, and fortunate is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed, Psalm 32, blessed, twice happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity and in whose spirit there is no guile. If the Lord has forgiven you your sin, you're blessed and you ought to be happy. Who are these happy and content people? Those who trust in Christ, Psalm 34, 8. Blessed, happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone this morning to put your sin away? Then you're blessed. Now, I know we live in a day where blessed, 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 you know. You sneeze, you know, bless you and have a blessed day. Yeah, I told you this before in another message. The Lord don't bless days. He gives days. He's the Lord of the day, but he doesn't bless days. Blessed, satisfied, content is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, Psalm 64. Boy, that's a happy man. Not blessed or satisfied is the man that chose God, the man that walked an aisle, the man that raised his hand and said, I make Jesus Lord, not the man that gets in the water or joins the membership roll of the church, no. But the man that God chooses and the man and woman that God causes to come unto him. Now there's a happy man and woman. Blessed they are. Blessed, happy are they that dwell in thy house. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Psalm 84 verses 4 and 5. All through this book, the Bible, and all through the book of Psalms. How about this one? Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Psalm 94, 12. If God chastens you, dear sinner, he's dealing with you as a son or a daughter. And that ought to make you happy. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. That's a happy man. That's a happy woman. Every single blessing mentioned in the book of Psalms has to do with the blessings that we have in Christ. Not how much money we have or how nice a car we drive or how nice a home we live in. Those are temporal blessings. This is talking about eternal blessings. And that's what's truly going to make you happy. Thirdly, where can this happiness be found? Well, I think you already know the answer, don't you? Again, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now listen, happiness can be found with those who walk not. That's a roundabout way of saying it. But happiness can't be found with those who walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Happiness can be found with those who standeth not. Or better said, happiness can't be found with those who stand in the way of sinners. And then happiness can be found with those who sitteth not, the verse says, in the seat of the scornful. Or happiness can be found with those, or cannot be found with those who sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, did you notice the gradual decline here with men and women who depart from God? They go from walking to standing, and then they go from standing to sitting. I don't know that I ever thought about that. You see, those who find fellowship with the ungodly and walk with them, they don't find any happiness, and they're not blessed. And after a while, they take pleasure in their walking with them, and pretty soon they're standing with them. They're agreeing with them. They're fellowshipping more and more with them and finding delight in doing so. And you might ask, well, Brother Dave, how do you know? From experience. As most of you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. Closer to 70 than I am 60. And I know those of you who are older say, oh, you're still just a pup. Well, I may be, but I don't feel like much a pup. But I know from experience, pretty soon they're standing with them and then they're sitting with the ungodly, making their abode with them. They have now become comfortable in the presence of the ungodly. And what a subtle decline this is. Oh, it's so subtle. You know, our enemy, Satan, he's subtle. He is subtle. Once they only occasionally walked with the ungodly. Soon they're standing with them. And then they go from standing to sitting with them. I've walked, I've stood, and I've sat with the ungodly. I have in the past abode with them. And I'll tell you the same as Scripture does. There is pleasure in sin for a season. Just a season. It's temporary. Just for a season. They start out only walking and hearing the ungodly's counsel. Then they find themselves standing with them in their way. And then before they know it, they're sitting down with these scoffers and doing the same things they do. None of these things produce happiness. Only those who walk not and stand not and sit not find true, blessed happiness, contentment, and joy. Where's this happiness found? Verse 2. But his delight, this blessed man, this happy man's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now the word law here is, it's not talking about the Ten Commandments. It's not talking about the Levitical law. Law is translated some different ways in the Old Testament scriptures. The word law here is talking about the written word of God. Yes, sir. It's talking about the word of God. And not just the written word of God, but it's also talking about the incarnate word of God. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The happy sinner's delight is in Jesus Christ and nowhere else. The Lord Jesus is their shepherd. I can just see David grinning from ear to ear when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He was happy about that. You know what? So am I. Amen. I'm happy, Adele. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm happy he's your shepherd too. But I'm even more happy, I'm sorry, that he's my shepherd. Christ is our green pastures. He maketh us to lie down and rest in green pastures. He makes us to lie down and rest in Him. He's our green pastures. He's our still waters. That's where our happiness is found. Nowhere else. Christ is who this psalm is talking about. Yes, sir. He's the blessed man, and we're blessed in Him. That's what Psalm 27, verse 17 says, "And men shall be blessed in Him." Nowhere else. "All nations shall call Him blessed." Now, I told you in the beginning that I've never preached from this psalm, and this is why I'm going to tell you now. I know you've been sitting on the end of your seat, edge of your seat. I used to read this psalm, and I have to be honest with you, I found little comfort in it. You know why? Because I walked way too much in the counsel of the ungodly. And it always caused me to look within and say, "What's wrong with you?" You know, a professing child of God, one who says they believe and trust in Christ, you walk way too much in the counsel of the ungodly. And I way too often stand in the way sinners stand. I way too often find myself sitting in the seat of scornful scoffers. I complain way too much when I know that my Lord and my Savior, my God, is in control of everything, even the traffic. And I don't meditate in the law, the Word of God, day and night. Why, sadly, I might go long periods of time without even thinking on my Lord and my Savior. And like Paul, I could truly say in myself, "Oh, wretched man that I am." That's not an exaggeration. And I used to read these verses and feel such condemnation and such inadequacy. But glory be to God, this psalm is talking about Christ. He's the blessed man. He's the happy man. He's the God man. And you know, men talk about the messianic psalms. A messianic psalm is a psalm that makes reference to Christ. And I heard someone say recently, a preacher, say that there were 16 messianic psalms. You know what? There's 150 of them.
Yes, sir.
There's 150 of them. They're all in reference to Him. Every single one of them. Well, this whole book is.
Yes, sir.
It's Christ who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's Christ who stands not in the way of sinners. It's Christ who sits not in the seat of the scornful. It's Christ who delights in the law, the Word of God. Why, He is the Word of God. A believer is all these things in Him.
Amen.
In Christ. Now I find great comfort in this psalm. And I could preach from it every week. It would be fine. A believer is all these things in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In Christ. I've heard people quote that and say, "Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." No man can delight in the law of God but one who's kept it. Isn't that right? If I'm guilty of the law, how can I delight in it? No man can delight in these commandments after they've heard what the law says. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, "Now we know that whatsoever things say, what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." And listen to me, beloved. The law is spiritual, and we are carnal and sold under sin, Romans 7:14. "For as many as are of the works of the law, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in this book of the law to do them. And then Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear what the law declares and what the law demands? Oh, if you do, you won't desire to be under it. No, sir. The gospel is just this. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You can't obtain the perfect righteousness that God requires because you can't keep the law perfectly as God demands. We just read it. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. If you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. If you don't keep the law perfectly, you're guilty of the whole law. He says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the law to do them. Not just give mental assent and say, oh, I should do them. No, to do them. James said, for whosoever shall keep the law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of the whole thing. And I can't find any happiness there. I tried for years. The law of God shows me my guilt. The law of God exposes my sin. And Paul said, I had not known what sin was, but by the law. That's why God gave the law, for I would have not known what lust was, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I don't find any delight in the law of God, not in the respect of me keeping it in order to be saved. Who would? Oh, I delight in God's law, God's commandments, because they're perfect and they're holy. But I don't find any happiness in I find no happiness in the Word of God had it not been for Christ taking my sin, paying my sin debt, and giving me His perfect righteousness. The only righteousness that God will accept. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. I have that righteousness that God will accept. And I have it in one place, and that's in Him. His righteousness is my righteousness. How so? By faith. Christ is the end of the law. Christ has done away with the law. He gives His perfect righteousness to all who believe Him. Believe what? That He is all their righteousness. Look at verse 3 here in Psalm 1. No doubt this is talking about the Lord Jesus. And He, that being Christ, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season, and His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Fourth thing, what does this happiness bring? Brings forth salvation. Salvation in Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. No other way. Salvation is not of me and my Lord. Salvation is not a cooperative effort, me helping God out. Well, the Lord wants to save, you know. He never wanted to do anything. What He wills and purposes, He does. What He thinks comes to pass. Salvation is of the Lord. That just becomes more apparent to the believer every day, doesn't it? As I grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, I see more and more, and I see clearer and clearer that if God doesn't divinely intervene, if God doesn't divinely interrupt in a sinner's life, they'll never be blessed, they'll never be happy, and they'll never be redeemed. And Christ, I would have you noticed here, is not a bush and He's not a shrub or a wild weed that springs up out of nowhere on its own. No, He's a strong, mature tree. He gives shade to the weary traveler. He gives fruit to the hungry sojourner. And not only that, Christ is a tree planted. Who planted this tree? God did. Our Lord told His disciples that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Unless the seed of God is planted and watered and God gives it increase, it'll not live. It'll be rooted up. Unless the Spirit of God is planted by the plants Christ, by the river of God's love and mercy of grace in our souls, we'll die in our sin. Every branch that bears not fruit, He, God, taketh away. John 15:2. If a man abide not in me, the Lord Jesus said, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. Christ is a tree planted by the rivers of water. He is a constant supply of living water. Why, He is that river that shall never run dry. He is that fountain from which flows living water. And it never runs dry. It's a constant flow. Always more than enough. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's what you and I are when we're in Christ. Christ brings forth fruit, the fruit of His Spirit. If we're in Him, so do we. Christ is the fruit that He gives His people. He never ceases from yielding fruit. His leaf shall not wither in the drought of our hearts. What is a leaf to a tree? Well, it's a leaf is a tree's covering. That's what Christ is to us. Christ is our righteous covering that shall never fade. We have the seasons, the leaves come out, and the leaves stay a while, and then they begin to fade and fall away, and then we have winter again. Don't have that with Christ. His leaves never fade. And what about this? Whatever our Lord Jesus does, it shall prosper. Not it shall prosper if you do this or if you do that. It shall prosper. Christ is the true and lasting source of happiness. Amen. He is the blessed and happy man. And if you're in Him, so are you. He became a man that He might save men and women. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. When we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But He doesn't walk in the counsel of them, and neither should we. Our Lord doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He is the way. He is the truth and the life. And no sinner comes to God but by Him. Our Lord doesn't sit in the seat of the scorners while men scorned, ridiculed, and were critical of Him. But He was despised and rejected of men. They hated Him without a cause. There was no reason, Tom, for any man to hate Him. Everything He did was good and perfect and merciful and gracious. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And our Lord's delight is in the law. It's in the Word of God. He is the Word incarnate. He who gave the law kept the law for His people. He is that tree planted by God. He's that river that cannot and will not run dry. And that makes me so happy. His fruit and His righteousness never fade. Everything He did and still does shall prosper. In other words, He cannot fail. He will not fail because He cannot fail. So, are you happy? Outside of Christ, you can't be. No matter how you try, you can't be. Not outside of Him. If you're outside of Christ, Satan is sifting you as if you were wheat. But if you're in Christ, He's prayed that your faith fail you not. The thief cometh but to steal and to kill and destroy. But those who are in Christ, Christ came that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes, sir.
We don't only just have life, we have life more abundant. Christ is the cause of this abundant life. Nothing else. And those who have this abundant life in Him are blessed and happy and content and forever saved. Cursed, doomed, and damned be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. But blessed, twice happy, fortunate, content are those who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is.
Amen.
Listen, Christ in you, dear sinner, is the hope of glory. And I'm sure happy about that. May God enable you to be happy in Christ.